Welcome to the Accra Community Church podcast. As you listen to God's word today, may it become for you fresh water for your thirsty soul, give you hope to cope, and wisdom to thrive, excel, and become everything God says you are. God bless you as you listen to today's sermon.
So we are celebrating motherhood. We are celebrating womanhood this morning. As a Methodist, I've chosen a theme from a Methodist hymn. Can a woman's tender care cease towards the child she bear? Can a woman's tender care cease towards the child she bear? But if that title is too orthodox and too long for you, just remember that we are celebrating motherhood and womanhood. Hallelujah. Tell somebody we are celebrating motherhood and womanhood. Those of you who had the opportunity to read African novels, you would have an African drama, you would have read Chinua Achebe. He once said that it's true that a child belongs to its father, but when a father beats his child, which we do a lot, the child seeks sympathy in the mother's heart. A man belongs to his fatherland when things are good and life is sweet. But when there is sorrow and bitterness, that same man finds refuge in his motherland. Hallelujah. And it tells a lot. Sometimes on Mother's Day, people try to leave the good things to say about mothers and try to remind us of other negative things about mothers. I don't think that is the time. This is time to celebrate. Hallelujah. In the same way that I will focus on the positive things about fathers on Father's Day, there will be time to talk about the negative things. But today, let us celebrate mothers. Hallelujah. Let us celebrate women. Let us celebrate what God has done for us in womanhood. I want to continue here with a slide. Good. So, I just wanted us to look at motherhood imagery. When you hear the name mother, the word mother, what images come to mind? I wouldn't ask you to tell me, but just think about what you are. I'm just putting on a few ones. Hello. Can anybody relate? Yes. If you didn't have that opportunity as a baby to be carried like this, be ready for hip replacement, because we are told that scientifically is the reason why most African men and women, children, never have that problem of needing hip replacement, because the bones get locked in properly by we being carried like this. Yeah, you didn't know, did you? Yes. So this is how our mothers carry that. They care. They are working, but they are carrying us. And today, science tells us that that is even a means of protecting us from needing hip replacement as we grow. I think this also comes to mind, isn't it? Multitasking. Multitasking. And then that care, that compassion, that love with which our mothers nurture us and care for us. But the Bible has its own imagery of womanhood, and it's mostly God as a mother. You know, when God saw that Adam was lonely and he promised to create somebody for him, he called that person a helper. All right. Now, the Bible has many words. The Old Testament has many words for helper, help. But one of them is unique. That word is called Ezer. E-Z-E-R. Okay, I want you to listen to this very well. Ezer. E-Z-E-R. See, Ezer. Yeah, so the word Ebenezer. That Ezer at the end of Ebenezer. That Ebenezer is stone of my help. Eben is stone. So Ebenezer is stone of my help. It's not like the Methodist says, this is where the Lord has brought us. No, it's stone of my help. That's the meaning. Hallelujah. So When you hear the word Eze in the Bible, it simply means helper. Now, this word is mentioned 21 times in the Bible. And out of the 21, 19 of it refers to God. God is Eze 19 times. How did I say 19? No, 18 times. Two of the Ezes we have in the Bible is help that people seek from other places that God opposes. Sorry, one. And two, the last two, refers to that special person that God said he's creating for the man. Eze. Hello. So I always talk about women by starting from this point, that if God was comfortable enough to give the name that is reserved almost out of 21, 18 of them is reserved for him, God. If God was comfortable enough to give that name to a woman. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how dare we call that person a weaker vessel? I don't agree with Paul. Maybe Paul didn't understand Eze. God, according to the Old Testament, is the only one who can give genuine help to humanity. And the next in command of that word Eze is the woman. Hallelujah. And so women, the biggest biblical image that you have is that you are helpers just like God. Hallelujah. Women are helpers just like God. The Bible tells us that God is a mother to us, comforting and carrying us in her arm. Isaiah says in 66 verse 13, as one whom a mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Because of time, I will just run through the slide. God knows each of us like a mother knows her own children. We are safe in God's loving arm like a child in his or her mother's arms. And the fifth one, I think, like a mother hen gathers the chicks under the wings, so does Jesus long to wrap his arms around us. And in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus laments over Israel. Oh, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not allow. And this last image, biblical image of women, reminds me of a story that I read about a farmyard that was caught up in fire. As usual, the farmer and his friends, helpers, and family will get up in the night, use water and all that they can use to rescue as many of these animals as possible. And in the morning, they were going around to assess the extent of their loss. And they saw bent feathers, and they remembered that there was this brooding hen in that corner of the barn. But then they quickly realized that even though it was not windy, the bent feathers were ruffling. So they drew closer, and what did they realize? The chicks, six of them, were under this charred, bent, and destroyed feathers. This mother hen had brooded over the chicks under her wings. She died, but the chicks lived. And it reminds us of the sacrifice that Jesus sacrificed his life, so that we would have eternal life. So from the two Bible passages that we have read, I want us to briefly celebrate the amazing extent women go to provide care and protection for children. Hallelujah. So when Moses' mother, what's the name of Moses' mother? Anybody knows? Oh, wonderful. One hand, yes. Jochebed. Jochebed. Thank you. You can find that in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. and Numbers chapter 26, verse 59. Also, for you are doing well. Because this name, many people don't know. This name, many people don't know. When she realized what was going on with... So in the first scripture, there is a background. Pharaoh had made a decree. He doesn't want the people of Israel to increase in number anymore. So first, he had asked the midwives to kill every male Jew that was born. And they didn't. They chose not to. I will talk about that briefly soon. And then when Moses was born, Pharaoh had already given decrees because of the midwife's disobedience, had given a decree that every male child born to the Jews, the Hebrews, should be thrown into the Nile and be killed. But Moses' mother didn't want to do that. And that whole story that led to Moses' surviving and later becoming what he became gives us a line of women working together intentionally or unintentionally to save life and to keep generations going. Hallelujah. And I think I want every woman here to identify yourself in any of these class of women in this story of Moses' survivor. The first batch of women I want to talk about are the midwives, the Egyptian midwives. It all began when this midwife decided to disobey a wicked decree by a wicked king who had instructed them to kill every male Hebrew child that was born. They had to lie to Pharaoh. Oh, it's not us. By the time we get there, the Hebrew women are so strong, they had already all be lie. Won't say that. But they had to go to that extent in order to fulfill God's purpose in the life of the people of Israel. The second group of women is Jochebed herself, Moses' mother. She anticipated a danger and she reacted swiftly and craftily, isn't it? Look at the description of the story. She got this basket, she filled it with the pitch and tar and all those kind of things. And it was as if she was obeying Pharaoh. Throw him into the Nile. And throw him he did. But he did it in a crafty and skillful, intentionally designed manner. That the very Nile that was supposed to drown and kill Moses had to give him a chance of survival. Hallelujah. She even had to put Moses' own life at risk. In actual fact, we don't know whether the Nile was calm or turbulent. And the Nile that we see is very turbulent. It flows. And so to put a baby in a basket like that, I can imagine how many times he had to go downstream and maybe Miriam had to quickly go and bring him upstream and all those kind of things. And if for nothing at all, if Moses had been discovered by any other apart from Pharaoh's daughter, he could have been killed. That was putting his life in danger. Even she was willing to do that in order to give him a chance of survival. She put Miriam, Moses' elder sister's life in danger because it was risky for her, a little girl, to be watching in such a place. But she did all this in order to allow the purpose of God to be fulfilled. Moses was finally drawn out of the river. And even later when he was given back to her, that compassion, that care that she used to care for Moses, and finally she had to give up this compassion and release him to Pharaoh's daughter. All in the name of allowing this little boy to live. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes when women abandon their children, and we know many stories like that, it is not always because they are wicked. Sometimes we need to be kind to some of these people. Poverty and need might have led many women to abandon their children. Not because they don't have compassion, but probably out of compassion, they know that keeping these children with them is risky for the life of these children. And compassionately hoping that wherever they leave these children, somebody, a family that could care for them would find them. We may not just want to justify such actions, but what I'm trying to say is looking at the story of Moses' survival, sometimes there is a reason why a compassionate mother wouldn't like her son or daughter to remain in conditions that will finally kill him or her, or if nothing at all, kill his or her destiny. The third group of women are represented by Miriam, Moses' elder sister. She stood at a distance to see what will happen to Moses. She accompanied the lonely boy who faced danger and death until she could ensure that Moses was safe and in the hands of her mother again. Big sisters, are you there? Give me a wave. Hallelujah. I didn't have a biological big sister, but I've had many big sisters in my life. And I haven't said this to Nana before, but MFA was one of them. Baby Mama J was one of the big sisters in my life in Suez School. She will show me Pepe when I'm going wrong. And she will make sure that I was always brought to the right path. Hallelujah. The role women play in the life of men is not only limited to that of mothers. It moves from sisters to work colleagues and wives. Hello. Praise the Lord. Everywhere and whatever situation women find themselves, there is that desire to care for humanity. The fourth group of women is represented by Pharaoh's daughter. She defied her father's wicked laws. She knew that Moses was one of the Hebrew children. She knew. And so all that she had to do in obedience to her father's rule was to chuck him back into the water. No. She defied that rule. As a woman as she was, she had that compassion. A compassion that the songwriter William Cowper calls a woman's tender care. It doesn't matter whether she knows the baby or not. Abadai, them na infantile friend, Abadai. And it has something to do with your entrails. Compassion has something to do with the movement of the entrails when something happens. And women, irrespective of their relationship to people, have that. So she let Moses live. She was ready to even pay money for Moses to be cared for until she was brought back to her. So Pharaoh's daughter represents the numerous women in the world who will simply ensure the safety and well-being of children, no matter who they are and where they come from, sometimes even at the peril of their own life. Growing up in my holy city, don't tell me signboard. You can talk about brass band, but don't talk about signboard. Hallelujah. I remember my mother was a teacher those days. There was the shift system, and by the time I come from school, she is gone to school and all that. I don't remember having been starved because my mother was not home. It's either in the same compound house some mother had cooked and everybody is eating. Sometimes we don't even know whose food we are eating. The mothers will just come and put them in the center, and every child, including their own children, will eat. And those of us who were, you know, we make sure we ate the best part of it. And by the time we don't even finish before another woman brings. So by the time my mother comes and cooks, nobody wants her food. Yes. That is how caring our mothers, our sisters, our wife, our daughters have been for us. And it is all that gift of Eze, of God, that he is giving to them. The final group of women is represented by the maid servants. The maid servants. They fetched Moses for Pharaoh's daughter, and they will surely play a part in Moses' upbringing when he came back to the palace. They represent many women in the world who work hard in hospitals, orphanages, agencies, other workplaces, providing services that children will be safe and healthy. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the single thread that goes through the action of all these women is compassion, a woman's tender care. She who abandoned did so because of compassion. She who watched did so because of compassion. She who adopted Pharaoh's daughter did so because of compassion. And she who ran errand, the servant, did so because of compassion. What can we do without our women? And that is why today we celebrate you. God bless you. Hallelujah. In the gospel, we meet two other women. Finally, the mother of Jesus. In her face, Simeon will tell her, Adamfo, enye is you, ube bre. A sword will pierce your soul. And we know from the story of Jesus. Woman, what do I have to do with you? Sometimes we try to polish it for Jesus. Don't defend Jesus, please. Jesus, your mother and brothers and sisters are looking for you. My mothers and brothers and sisters are ACC people listening to word of. You see, it's not just the cross, but the way Jesus will talk because of the mission that he had. Sought, pierced her soul. She had this prophecy, but she was ready to hold on to it. How many women have had swords pierce their souls because of the careless way, especially their sons, behave? Kofi men cause me kwa dada. Enke men fausi we wana mi fida mi. Hallelujah. But still you hold us. God bless you. And the final woman is Anna. This woman, and there's a woman in my church that I've named the Anna of our time. This woman, we are told, was married for only 7 years. And it's either for 57 years she had been a widow, or if you go behind the Greek a little, actually for 84 years she's been a widow. Whichever way, it's a long, long number of years. And what does she do? Always in the temple. And even though we hear of only baby Jesus being handed over to her, you can imagine for this 57 years or 84 years of serving in the temple, probably she had no child, we are not told. But looking at somebody who was always in the temple, probably she didn't have one. But how many children, babies like Jesus, would have passed through her hands and been nurtured and tutored, and maybe whether prepared for confirmation or prepared for whatever. She had nurtured nations. And yet, probably she did not have her own. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we celebrate our women this morning, I want us to pray that this tender care that our women have will transcend beyond their own children and to the world that they had been placed in to be helpers. We salute you, our mothers, our grandmothers. We salute you, our wives and our daughters and our sisters, our fiancés, whichever category you fall in. We pray that God will continue to give you his grace and his favor and continue to use you to bless humanity. Happy Mother's Day once again. Hallelujah. Let us just be on our feet and have a word of prayer. In the name of Jesus. Can a woman stand a care? Sister, where's the child she bear?
Yes, she may forgetful be, yet will I remember thee. Can a woman stand?
Come on, sing with me, sing with me.
Sister words, the child she bear. Yes, she may forgetful be, yet will I remember.
In fact, let me do this first. All the women, sit down. Let the men stand and let us stretch our hands on the women. Let's do that prayer first. Let's pray for them. Let's pour blessings upon all the women, all our daughters, all our wives, all our mothers, all our grandmothers, all our sisters, all our friends. God bless you. God bless you. In the name of Jesus, may the power of the living God, may the power of the living God fall upon you. May God continue to make you the excess that he's made you for humanity, for your families, for your people, the people in your workplace, for all the people that you come across. In the mighty name of Jesus, may the power of the heavens strengthen you and empower you. If there are any women here who are going through turbulent times, who are going through times of sorrow, may the Lord comfort you. May the Lord rescue you from the turbulence of the sea of life. In the name of Jesus, I pray and prophesy upon your life, our women, upon your lives, that God will open gates and doors of opportunities for you. May God cause that compassion that is in you be upon people who need to stand and open doors for you and give you the greatest opportunities you have. May God raise you up and continue to use you for his purpose in the name of Jesus. Now may the women rise up and the men sit down. Let me just bless the women because time is gone. In the name of Jesus. My dear sisters, mothers, wives, friends, daughters, I bless you with the blessings upon Eve. You are Eze, helper for humanity. I bless you with the blessings upon Sarah. God will bring you laughter and you will be fruitful in your old age. You will laugh in your old age in the mighty name of Jesus. I bless you with the blessings upon Deborah. You shall judge with righteousness and you will raise children to be an indomitable army for God. I bless you with the blessings of God upon Ruth. You will come out of a cursed nation and become part of God's chosen people. You will meet Boaz and your destiny will change in the mighty name of Jesus. I bless you with the blessings upon Esther. Kings will raise their sceptres to protect you. You will save your nation from destruction. I bless you with the blessings upon Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are blessed and highly favored. And I bless you with the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let there be healing in your life. Let there be miracles in your life. Let there be wonders in your life. May the lame walk in your ministry. May the crippled jump to the glory of God and leap for joy. May the blind see in your ministry. May your bread be multiplied in the mighty name of Jesus. May you walk upon the sea of life and defeat every situation and bring calm to the storms. May God use you to bring salvation to many generations. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. If it blessed you, share it with a friend. For more information on how to fellowship with Accra Community Church, visit our website, www.accrachurch.org. God bless you.